Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 24th on the West Coast, now February the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome everyone listening to the broadcast this evening on BlogTalkRadio.com and around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. Shout out to everyone out there in the U.S. military, especially. Well, lots going on. I must say I heard some really, really off-the-chart research and firsthand accounts of some whistleblower testimony, we'll say, involving the Bohemian Grove in the state of California. This secret place where the Illuminati goes to do their skanky little deeds, we'll call it. And there was some really, really interesting information that came out that actually supports much of the research that I have written. And, of course, research of some others who have been disclosing the mind control programs, the MK Ultra stuff, the infusion of Nazis into politics here in the United States. And basically, I thought I was listening to myself at times. Not that that's what I do, but just the familiarity with what I was hearing. I was getting confirmation from an independent source that many of the stories are actually true, and he was naming names, and it was very interesting. Very prestigious names in Washington, D.C., people that have been involved in pedophilia, child sacrifices, and you name it. And, of course, they've been through a lot, these two gentlemen that were guests, actually, on our past Monday night guests show, Dr. H.U. Watts, The Story Behind the Story, was the broadcast I was listening to these two gentlemen on. And just off the charts, I can tell you that we're going to try to bring some of that information to our show because you deserve to be able to hear that during the regular listening hours of Evident Footprints as well. That said, we're going to touch upon maybe that and some other topics that sort of dovetail into the rest of society. And tonight's guest is an expert in that area. She's also the co-publisher and co-editor of the Idaho Observer. She was with the late Don Harkins, my good friend. And we miss him terribly, but we're fortunate we still have Ingrid with us, Ingrid Castle. Ingrid, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Don. That was a nice introduction. I actually want to be delving more into these attacks on our people, you know, through covert and subversive means and, you know, harassment and beaming. And I'm getting more and more reports. I just had a call yesterday while I was at our local Republican Central Committee meeting. And then he called back, and it's another man that's being targeted, you know, with electronic surveillance. And they broke it on coast to coast, you know, recently. I think it was a February 8th show where George Norrie had a man on. But I went to the website. They have a lot of good stuff at this freedomfchs.com. And looks like they're trying to, you know, really do stuff to help people, and they have a lawsuit and trying to stop this stuff from occurring because, you know, that's the whole thing. It's not something, you know, like overt. You know, this is using technology and its weapons, and you can't see, touch, taste, or feel it, you know, but you are definitely under attack. And so it's Freedom FCHS, so it's like freedom from covert harassment and surveillance.com.
Hmm. Okay. That's a.
I was just kind of throwing that out because it's becoming a lot more common, and so now we actually have people coming out and gathering stories and specializing in, you know, helping that. And there's a couple books that are you know, recently come been released on that. So it's definitely a pretty interesting, horrifying topic. And my friend Deanne Burley, she's a radio show host, that she got into being a radio show host a lot for just exposing what she's been dealing with. She was trying to get justice years ago in Southern California and ended up in this whole, you know, crime network of, you know, just investigating the crap in Chicago. But, yeah, there are some of these people that she had had indictments against and lawsuits against are now all of a sudden, I guess it was on Fox News out of Chicago, that this Abe Karn is one of these guys that's now Chicago's most wanted, yet she's had stuff against him for a while. I mean, you know, here she's been exposing this stuff for 8-9 years, and it's all been suppressed, and she had to go on radio, and now some of the stuff is coming out, but she's been under attack, and it's really sad. She's a really neat, very smart gal that, you know, is right in the thick of it, and I sent you some stuff on that, and I knew you were familiar with it, Dawn, and I really appreciate any help you can provide her.
Yeah, you know, what she's describing and what you alluded to absolutely parallels the research that I did 3 years ago and have been doing. It's taken me all over the world, actually, but it started out in Chicago, and the organized crime control over the Justice Department, in particular, I can name a few of the county court facilities. Now, we know Cook County is corrupt, and it always has been, and you have Lake County. A past guest on the show, Dr. Sheila Mannix, related many, many cases that were going on, and she started a group called the Illinois Family Court Accountability Advocates. What they were trying to do was to get people to pay attention to the corruption that was going on in the Child Protective Services wing of social services in towns across the country. This is not something that's just happening in Chicago. The intentional criminal impoverishment of people who happen to have some success in business or some success in their lives, maybe some good fortune, and they have some money in the bank and a nice house, and they literally take everything from them, and they use the kids to do this. And you've heard me talk about phony identification, identity theft, false court documents, phony divorces, all of this stuff, and that's exactly what Deanne Burley wrote about, isn't it? Exactly the same thing.
Right.
So this is organized crime, and this interfaces with Maricopa County Recorder's Office in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
And it dovetails with much of the research that Dr. A. Truat's been bringing out with Salt Lake City. Now, I knew it was going on in Salt Lake before I had met him and before he came on this show or we collaborated in our research. But it's, you know, God has a funny way of making things happen. And all of these people are starting to come together now and combining our research. I don't doubt a word Deanne Burley is saying. I have to tell you that. And we're dealing with a criminal cabal that is pretending to be our leaders, our government. And it's nothing but organized crime. It's all it is. It might as well be Al Capone doing all this, and Frank Nitti, and all the New York mob gangs, including the Golubs. That's one name you don't hear much of. From the Jewish Ashkenazi mafia out of Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And they run the buildings, they run the jails, they run the hospitals, everything. They're running all of this stuff. And most of the money that we pay for public services is being stolen by these people. And then they're stealing everything that the people that are paying into this bottomless pit called income tax, they're stealing everything that those people have. Everything they've worked their whole lives for is outright being stolen. And then they turn around when we tell the truth about what's going on and they want to target us with
right.
energy weapons or with drugs or set us
right.
up, you know, all of that. Oh,
well, I'm not sure if you heard about Shauna Ford. She's a 42-year-old woman that's being held in the Pima County jail in Tucson, Arizona. There's no real clear charges against her because they don't have any evidence, but they're trying to pin her with the murder of a bunch of drug dealers that were wiped out. But it's, you know, the drug war is down there, and they just decided to put her in the middle of it and incarcerate her and pin everything on her because she's one of the Minutemen, and she's been, you know, very vocal about the illegal alien traffic and, you know, how dangerous it is living in Arizona anywhere near the border. Well, all of Pima County apparently is run by the country of Mexico and Mexicans. You know, I mean, there's a whole money laundering thing that's involved with, you know, the highest officials there in that county. So it's probably one of the more shocking things I've ever heard, but they won't let her wear clothes. They have stripped her of all her clothes, and she is in solitary confinement, and she is dealing with men, and she has no clothes, not a blanket or anything. She's freezing all the time. She doesn't have a pen or a paper. Her lawyer doesn't seem to care. I mean, it's a court-appointed attorney, mm-hmm. and, of course, she'd like to get rid of him. I mean, you know, we're trying to get some attention on this case because any attorney that allows a 42-year-old woman to be in jail totally naked without a pen or paper, that's pretty shocking. But there you can go to the website, http://www, Justice for Shauna Ford, and it's shaunaforde.com. Justice for Shauna Ford, and you can see all the details of her case. But she has several, you know, people that are rooting for her, and Lane Lawless is her main advocate. But she lives like 2 hours away and drives down to try to see her as frequently as possible. But she was able to record some conversations with her too. They didn't. They found out she was recording, and they terminated a visit that she had. But as soon as they realized that she was recording Shauna's voice. But, you know, some of these stories just get more and more horrifying all the time, you know, just like Sherry Peel Jackson, you know, being punished for the American Free Press publicizing her plight of medical neglect. She felt like she was going to die in prison, you know, because they're poisoning the prisoners with all this, you know, fake food.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, you can't get any. I mean, she didn't have really the best of health before she went into prison because I talked with her about some of her health issues before she ever got in prison, but they all exacerbated, you know, because she, you know, you don't have any access to any supplements. You're fed. There's no sugar because after all, you can make alcohol with sugar, and you know, a little yeast in the bread. So the only sweetener you get is aspartame. All the water, of course, is fluoridated and chlorinated. And, you know, there's MSG. And then you get, of course, you're experimenting on with genetically modified foods. And it's it kind of goes on like that. It's hard to actually survive a prison sentence.
Now, she went to prison for being vocal about the income tax. And she's Internal Revenue Agent, was she not?
She was an accountant. She was an IRS accountant.
Okay, she was an IRS accountant. And she kept asking that question, show me
right.
the law.
And she's an excellent spokesperson, an amazing woman, very strong, faith-filled Christian, has two beautiful children, a wonderful husband. They've had, her husband, Colin, is the last to find out if she's moved. And before Christmas, he didn't even know where she was. And they moved her without telling anyone and put her in solitary confinement in a prison, you know, as far away from her family as they could put her.
Have they been able to determine who was making that decision?
No.
All in all, how she's being treated, or, for that matter, Shauna Ford. You know, who makes the decision she's not to wear any clothes? Who makes it? Is that a prison warden?
Well, see, she's in jail. She's not even being pinned. This is not federal. It's just the lawlessness of the county sheriff in Pima County, Arizona, which is the county where Tucson is. This is the lawlessness of the sheriff. So what Lane Lawless suggested is that, in fact, she was going to call our sheriff and get some guidelines for what would entail putting someone into solitary confinement. What are the guidelines? Because Shauna and many other people I've talked to who are put in solitary confinement, it is a form of torture. And, yeah, it might not be, you know, waterboarding, but...
sensory deprivation and all of that.
Right.
and Lord knows what else. You know, it's not like they go in there and clean the place, you know.
Right.
You wonder where the Sheriff Joe Arpaio's are in situations like that.
Well, he's in Phoenix area.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm speaking rhetorically. I know he's in Phoenix. That's why I mentioned that. in other words, has he been made aware of what's going on? Is he privy to all this and allowing this to go on?
Well, it's a neighbor. It's another county. 2 hours south.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm aware of that, but certainly if he's aware of a crime being committed, certainly it sounds criminal what they're doing. He's been notified, and he should be taking action. Somebody is orchestrating this. Somebody is calling the shots on this, is what I'm saying. I think it's a valid question. I'm not saying you have
right.
To
I mean, I haven't actually looked at everything on the website, but yeah, they believe it goes all the way, you know, to Department of Homeland Security, because this is a whole string of murders that took place in one area. I mean, it was like a whole family. Anyhow, there was, you know, several people murdered, and they don't have a suspect. And they just decided to grab her because she was a Minuteman. And that's the whole thing, is to keep this drug trafficking and this lawlessness of the borders continuing.
Oh, of course.
You know, might as well, yeah. So, yeah. And Department of Homeland Security is involved.
Yeah, and they're worried about national security. They got to keep those drugs coming in, don't they?
Or bombs, or terrorists, or
yeah, exactly, or whatever. Long-legged.
They justify their budget, you know.
Mm-hmm. Even political candidates, you know, to do.
Well, yeah, they make everything worse to try to throw more money at the problem. They got to justify their existence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had heard. Now, this Shauna Ford thing's been going on for at least a few months, hasn't it? Seems to me like I've been hearing this over the past couple of months, little bits and pieces.
Yeah, I think it's about 2 months.
Uh-huh, okay. Yeah, it's the same case then. It just doesn't end. And I suppose we could talk a minute about this thing since we were talking about people that are being put in jail for voicing their opinions about the 14th or the 16th Amendment and how it applies if it's been ratified. And then you have other people who are taking matters into their own hands. Now, this has got to be one of the strangest stories I think we've come across. This is every bit as strange as Fort Hood only it's Fort Hood with an airplane. And this
right.
this Joe, Andrew Joe Stack that flew the plane into the IRS building, well, that's what they tell us, right? They told us that he flew the plane. They told us that he burned his house down. They told us that he posted a suicide note on the internet. It's not his actions belie the rationale behind all this preparation. And certainly what I read and what others take is on his alleged 6-page suicide note raises a lot of questions. First question is, here's a guy whose life totally was a failure. How did he get his hands on an airplane? Renting it or leasing it, however he, or buying it, how did he do that? They're quite expensive. And he flew it into a building, and the building was on fire, and the building didn't collapse. Building burned a lot longer than the World Trade Center. And didn't collapse. Did you notice that?
Well, I know that they didn't, you know, the story's been hushed up after it had a lot of fanfare the first couple days. Now it's like nothing.
Mm-hmm. But I think it warrants, examination as far as how the mainstream media handled it, because they came out right away and they knew who this guy was and what he was up to. How do you know that? There are people that said they didn't see anybody in the plane. So you have all these
really, different... there was no one in the plane, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, that means it was a drone. And the way it was flown into this building, again, we have these stories that there's no way this guy could have flown this plane like this.
Right.
I mean, you can hit a building, but not at the speeds and the maneuvers that they make to do this in those congested areas of a city. It just doesn't pan out. But again, we have financial offices being hit, you see, like we did on 9/11.
The records are gone. Oops.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, you know, as far as we know, this guy could be a total fiction.
Right.
You know, the whole story could be just made up just to herd us down a particular path in our thinking, in our belief structure. It's rotten to the core. It's just like Fort Hood, same thing. And everybody in the media instantly knew what to say and had the same prepared script. It wasn't that way years ago. One network would come out with the story, and all the other networks would come out and say, well, according to CBS News or according to NBC or CBS, and that's about all you heard there.
Yeah, but the response was scripted.
Yeah, exactly. It was scripted anyway, but they were a little more slick about how they delivered the information. We can't be so blunt and everybody has this information, because
right.
we're left with this impression that the news agencies are competing with each other. So they have to have the best news. They have to, what does that mean, the best news? The most truthful news or the most psychotic news? And that's really where it is today. I mean, it has nothing to do with what's going on in the world. You know that. You deal with a paper that puts out the truth. And you dig long and hard to arrive at that conclusion, that it is the truth, that it certainly represents more the truth.
Well,
than...
we certainly aim to do that, Don. We yeah. don't, we're not on target 100% of the time. We do just do slip-ups.
Yeah, but the intention is to be as truthful
right.
about what you see going on and what behind the scenes is actually occurring.
Right. I definitely pray for some discernment, and I definitely have my take on things. I mean, even like the Jesse Ventura stuff, when we reported that on that in January, we just, you know, that these shows on True TV were going on, and I had my own, you know, suspicions about the whole thing, you know, just the slickness of the style, and yeah, I certainly put my own slant, you know, I just like the mainstream does. I want people to start thinking. clearly. I mean, why do they call it a conspiracy theory? It's the title of a show.
Yeah, they
and
gave,
why was
yeah,
it? You know, all of that. I mean, Don, you know, just how they did it in this entertainment format that was real quick. Like, oh wow, you know. So it didn't. It lacked a certain level of credibility. Took it mm-hmm. into the realm of fantasy.
Yeah,
sci-fi.
I have to admit, I didn't see one of those broadcasts. However, I heard all about them from everybody who did. And when you think, well, here we have the governor of Minnesota, who was a wrestler with the NWO, and I don't know, is that secretly New World Order? And then before that, he was, subsequent to that, he was an actor in Hollywood in a bunch of movies with Sylvester Stallone and a few others. And then before that, he was a Navy SEAL. Okay, now if you know what Navy SEALs do, you see right. why he became governor. You see
right.
why he's been a voice. Forget about wrestling. I think that was just something out there to endear him to a whole bunch of people. Just like
right.
they did with Schwarzenegger in California, making him an icon in a sport, which was bodybuilding, then mm-hmm. making him an icon in Hollywood, and then you have this idol-worshipping humanity now around the world that just worships anything that's up on a screen or on a video projector.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't get it anymore. They don't understand anything about the purpose of life or who they are. All they live for is worshiping these people who have every dysfunctional problem you can have in life. They've all got them. And then they put these people out in front of us and they create these shows. And I get the email. People say, oh, yeah, you got to hear what Jesse Ventura said on his conspiracy theories show. They're naming this the show, or the program is what it really is. They're naming it using innuendo and political spin that they use to debunk the truth.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's how they're naming the show.
Right.
And somehow it doesn't sink into people's heads. Even people I know who hate to hear that term used in conjunction with research are saying, oh, yeah, it's such a great show. What's so great about it? What does he do? He alludes to the fact that this is going on. We talk about it. We tell people exactly what's going on. But we don't have a national audience. That doesn't mean we're not telling the truth.
Right.
It means they're brainwashing the masses. They put him in a place where he can reach the largest number of people. That's not
well,
the truth.
Well, it was the style and the way it was done. Because when people that watch TV, even people that watch a lot of videotapes, you know, that they get from Alex Jones, you know, the whole fear-mongering. I mean, there's not any... Anyway, I don't like that medium. I have to admit, the whole TV, even DVD, you know, the $1 DVD project, I mean, I'm sure they're doing a great job, but it promotes people sitting on the couch. And, you know, when we talk about the Ringing Cedar series that I told you about with Anastasia, I think they're really important because she talks about image making and how we're spending our creative mind. What are we doing as part of a solution? And that's, to me, really important. I was bringing that up to a guy who had on his website an analogy of the sheep going over the cliff. You know, you herd a whole bunch of sheep, and then they start dropping off the cliff, and the sheep behind just keep following mm-hmm. them, and pretty soon, you know, all the sheep are off the cliff. And they had all these people rushing and jumping into this big pit, like they're going into the depths of hell, and the people just kept moving and moving and going. And I thought, you know, that's the kind of imagery that we don't want. We don't need that kind of imagery. That's just the kind of stuff that they are using, even on labels of organic food packages. Everything, I mean, I've seen, you know, people do analysis of different labels and packages, and it's really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about promoting death and getting rid of humanity. and the whole depopulation agenda. There's all, our whole society is rife with this kind of symbology, and getting people to sit in front of a screen for a majority of their time, whether it's even a computer screen or a TV screen, is not part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to be interactive with people in your community, with your neighbors, with, you know, helping someone, you know, that has injustices like Shauna Ford. I mean, you know, you need to be able to use a computer as a tool, but you need to know when to back up and back away from it and be working with people locally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I feel really strongly about this, you know, having our minds, you know, bombarded constantly with images, negative images from a screen that happen repeatedly over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. And the simple answer or the simple response when somebody complains, like, why don't you ever show anything positive? Well, this is what people want to see. Who are you asking to see this? Am I asking? Do you know anybody who's asking them to show us this stuff? Heck no. This is just more of the same propaganda. That's all it is. But there's that cusp that people or that fence that they're sitting on. They're not aware of the fact that they're even there half the time, I would
right.
venture to guess. It's a habit. People come home from work, they'll plop down on the couch, turn on the TV, start listening to something, maybe fall asleep, maybe actually become interested in what they're looking at. But what does it have to do with achieving some success in raising your consciousness or helping solve the world's problems?
Right.
Those people have the attitude, well, it's not my job. That's why we pay the government. Yeah. And
well, we're all in this together. And that's why, you know, I really like Joyce Riley's The Power Hour. She has an amazing network of really active people. And so you get on her show with, you know, some issue, and you have a response, you know, where you want people to do something in particular, you get a lot of really good response from people. I mean, you get people to write letters or, you know, I told Lane Lawless, who's helping Shauna Ford, I said, you get on the Power Hour. We need to get some heat on the Shauna Ford case, but, you know, make sure you get all your ducks on, you know, the phone calls they need to make, the emails, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's like, you know, really the key to, you know, getting some heat on these different cases is getting a network of people. And, you know, we're working on our network here in our own county, and I'm feeling pretty gratified. I mean, we're starting to get more and more people that are seeing what we did on a small scale and seeing that we're winning. You know, we're actually making some headway. And that's the thing. People do not want to join a losing team. They want to sit, and you got to, you know, you want to make sure infighting doesn't take place out in the open, that you're able to resolve issues, you know. And because that's the thing. People are so tired of, I mean, they have so much cognitive dissonance with the international scene, the national scene, the Obama administration, right after the Bush administration. It's like, it's pretty overwhelming. And, you know, if they even have a job, what are they doing? You know, working for the banksters, you know, I mean, the only jobs left, you know, working for someone else is pretty much, you know, mm-hmm. the military industrial complex, or being a bureaucrat robbing, you know, people blind, you know. So it's difficult, you know, right now for people to, you know, feel like there's a solution. It seems overwhelming, but there is. There's a lot of really good things going on right now, and I'm fairly gratified. You know, there's a Restore America plan, people. There's the goo, you know. I don't know if you've been to getoutofourhouse.com, but that's, you know, getting the incumbents out. So there's all this different levels of people that are doing positive things, and these networks are growing, and it's nice to see people networking in a positive way, that they're not just, you know, saying, oh, my gosh, we're going to hit, you know, 2012, and the end of the world is going to happen, and I'm just going to wait for the second coming of Christ, and, you know, there you go. I don't have to do anything. I'm done.
Here's I want to bring something up, and you mentioned something that is sort of a sore spot with me. I'm not saying that you've irritated me. It's a sore spot in the sense that, you know, I do a lot of research, and when I get red flags that there's some kind of movement, or when I'm seeing that the people that are heading these things, like the Restore America plan, Dr. Sam Kennedy is using an alias for his name.
Yeah, I'm not even familiar. You know, it's pretty weird. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I could never even get any response from him, and a lot of their stuff is hyped, and it's, like, really weird. They're making it like it. I couldn't even get any response from these people.
Yeah.
It's all kind of strange.
I see it as a psyop, and so do many others that have been looking at it. After I kind of pointed out, I think we're jumping the gun here. You don't advertise that you've got thousands and thousands of listeners listening to the show, and the numbers aren't showing it where they are trackable.
Right.
It's very difficult.
Oh, they said they had a million people signing up, and I was like, whoa, that seems kind of off. But, you know, there was a feeling, I think they were trying to capitalize a feeling of people ready to do stuff. But, I don't see it really going any, I'm glad you brought that up, that it's a likely psyop stuff. Because I've heard back and forth from different people, you know, they're going, do you know? And it's like, no, these people never got back with me. And I thought, well, I'll let it slide, you know.
If you look into the seminars, because this is based on a seminar, you know, this is this is like the Fireburn Doctor people that want to pray for you, and then when they get you behind closed doors, they want to hit you up for £30,000 to meet with the guy that does this miraculous healing. Okay, it's a scam, and trust me on that one. It's actually quite an entertaining scam, too. But in the case of this particular Restore America plan, you have to be willing to get your ticket in advance to go to a seminar, and you're given a booklet and you're given some CDs that have, you don't know what it is, you don't know what the value of it is, but you're told it's $405 and a pre-1964 silver dollar. If you don't come with the silver dollar with your pre-bought ticket, it's an additional $40 at the door. If you pay at the door, your whole ticket is $505 plus the silver dollar. And if you don't have the silver dollar, it's $545. Now, you tell me there's not a price for freedom. and they're announcing the website, and they're announcing all these documents, but none of the documents are there. The website is basically empty. It's a psyop.
I thought it was, the whole thing was really, really odd. It was like they're just gathering names. They're trying to get more names.
Yeah. It's a data mining expedition is what it is. And
we all had questions about that, and Aaron, we're all like, going, something is really off about this whole thing, you know?
Well, when you start looking up the names of the
people,
they
don't send you anything. There's no substantive stuff. Everything is supposed to be audio, you know, listen to this audio thing, listen to this, you know? And nothing's in writing.
Yeah, they got a guy that was with FEMA, he claims, and he couldn't stand the corruption in FEMA. And he's licensed to practice law everywhere but in the United States. He's not a member of the bar, so he's not part of that game. You're supposed to trust this guy because of that.
Oh,
okay?
Really?
And I've listened to him talk, and it, you know, he's smooth in the legalism. Mm-hmm. But although he'll say, well, this isn't lawful here. This is what you have to push is the lawfulness of this. And these people are dealing in legalisms. That may very well be true, but there's nobody in the system that's going to adjudicate according to what this guy's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but he's saying he's got all the aces up his sleeve that they totally have to back down. Now, I've had experiences. You probably had experiences. Many of our listeners have had experiences where when the truth came out and the light was shown on what seemed like the most dire circumstances, somebody that thought they were going to get a lot of money screwed up and was found out. Okay, that's usually the case. Most of the time, if the jury hasn't been threatened or corrupted, bribed or whatever, you'll get a pretty honest verdict from a jury. That is, if they're not necessarily following the judge's instructions, because they really don't have to follow the judge's instructions at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they're led to believe that they have to do this. Well, these guys are putting out some truths and some half-truths, and then there's a lot of stuff that they're not telling anybody. It seems to me that to say, well, we're sorry we didn't respond to the email or all the calls or this and that, but we have been so busy. What? Doing what? Doing what? Why is it that you build this thing up and you sucker everybody in and no one can get a hold of anybody? No one can find out the information that is so desperately needed in within a 60-day period. Still, the information isn't accessible to people. Still. And it's been a month or so that they've been running these shows. So
right.
They're down to their last 30 days. They said by March 31st, roughly their last 30 days.
Right.
And I don't mean to pick on this one thing, because there may be a lot of well-meaning people thinking that they're really joining something, but this is how.
No, I think you're absolutely right. No, I totally do, because I was really like, this is really weird, you know? And it just so happened that it was Sam Kennedy is the reason I left the RBN. No, I had two guests lined up in the summertime, and I was canceling. It was our Saturday morning show, you know, and
yeah.
Don was gone, and it was in 2007. And I hear my daughter and my and her father, you know, my ex, were swimming the Long Bridge, and I was going to can all of that for, you know, my commitment to RBN, and I spent a lot of time lining out these guests. One was a huge donor to RBN, and I call into the show, and they were replaying a Sam Kennedy show. They weren't expecting me to be on, even though I was on every Saturday morning. And so I had to cancel my guests, and I said, that's it, you know. And then he tried to call me back. Oh, I made a mistake, and you can come on. But I thought it was just funny. They were doing a replay. And so it all kind of comes around full circle, you know.
Yeah.
It is. It was just kind of humorous to me that it happened to be him, you know, a replay of his show.
I certainly hope my listeners read my research so they know where I'm coming from there. I'm not somebody that's just spouting off someone else's research. I'll honor people's research, especially good research. I often read some of the best articles on this show and talk about them and quote certain people and give them credit. But I will research their story, too. I don't always just read it and say, well, this is the truth because I'm telling it on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell people to do homework. I did the homework. I thought, well, if this is really what it's being touted to be, then why is it being done so openly? Are they not concerned?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm revealing all kinds of truth. You're revealing all kinds of truth. We know that there are risks that we take to do that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
There are risks to our health, to our safety, to our well-being, in our family, in our friends. And, you know, if you have courage, you take that risk. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
If you love your country, if you love mankind, and you want to be some sort of a contributor to the progression of human consciousness, the uplifting of that consciousness, then you're going to take your life pretty seriously, and you're going to look at this and these little gnats that are trying to bite at you, or these little ticks and fleas that are evil. And you're going to say, you know, it's worth all of this, because who are they? What are they? They're nothing. And their eternity is going to be even less than what they are now. So, it's worth that. And that's what we want people to be able to hang their hat on, is the fact that we're willing to take those risks on their behalf, but crying out loud, wake up, you know, wake up and do some thinking. Use some discernment I mean, you know, I don't mean to be sounding like I'm preaching or talking down to anybody, but this is a repetitive mantra, isn't it? We're telling people, you know, before you fall for all this, think, do some research, find out about it, talk to some other people, study up on the subject a little bit. Otherwise, don't criticize us for what we're doing, because, you know, we feel in our hearts that we're doing the right thing. And certainly you can look at what's being done to you by others and tell that their heart may be into it, but they certainly don't have your well-being at the top of the list, or anyone's well-being. So, you know, we're in some crazy times now where people are expecting hope because they've been promised hope. And what is hope? Hope about what? Hope for what? Change. Change is happening all the time. When it stops,
something
we die.
Something you can always count on. Well, I know for myself, I mean, we're here for a reason, and it's not to just, you know, do nothing. Eat, drink, and be merry, and wait for the second coming of Christ. I mean, I don't think that's really what God would have us do at this time. We need to, you know, really turn things around, and it starts with ourselves and our own, you know, spiritual connection and how we are serving at this time.
So. Yeah. What would Don say in a situation like this? Don Harkins, what did he say when you guys talked about these things?
Oh, what did he say? Well, similar to me, you know, that it's certainly not time to, you know, give up. No matter what was he saying, no matter what. And when we talked, you know, there were certainly times where it was like, holy, it's overwhelming, you know. Isn't there an island that we can go and escape on? I think everyone, you know, can't help but they're, you know, this little, you know, there's a book about the big me and the little me.
Mm-hmm.
And our little me would always want to escape to the, you know, the little private island to just make love and eat fruit. But, you know, we also knew that there was a big me that brought us together and that we were here to be of service and to be helpmates to one another so that we could serve.
Yeah.
And, you know, he understood that, and that was why he always ended, he fell in love with a lot of our, you know, innocent political prisoners who were such spiritual giants and taught him so much. And he would really go to bat for them and try to figure out some way that they can get out. And there's a couple guys that he helped to actually get out. I mean, they actually figured out through the maze, you know, a door closes, another door closes, there's got to be a crack in a window here, and he gave them that kind of guidance to persist in their cases and would always sign, no matter what, like, never give up. I mean, we've all heard the guy that wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I think he sent it to, like, 50 publishers before it was ever published. He never gave up. He felt that it was an important work that he did, and he just knew it was going to make it, but he just kept sending, you know, query letters and the first three chapters to publisher after publisher.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to, you know, we're not here to just, you know, throw in the towel. There's, you know, there's a persistence definitely pays off. I mean, that's just like the chairman of our own Republican Central Committee and a county commissioner who's very constitutional-minded, very patriotic, wonderful man. He's carried our paper for over 10 years in the Army Surplus Store. I mean, 10 years, you know. I mean, he was constantly fighting against the powers that be, and he actually finally moved into the position that he, you know, can actually do something and makes a difference in our county. But that's 10 years, 10 years of hard work.
Yes. Well, you're talking about, you know, people taking action, and instead of waiting for someone else to take the action on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who provides your food for you? Who provides your shelter for you? And if you were in a situation where you're helping someone else, that person would be receiving help from you. In most cases, that person wouldn't even acknowledge the fact that you were helping them through a hard time. And not that we expect that, but there's sort of this attitude that we take all of this for granted, that we don't have to be grateful for the things that others do for us. Somehow we've been dumbed down to the extent to where we've lost those profound morals that God gave us to be appreciative of one another and the acts of kindness that we bestow upon each other. There's not a whole lot of acts of kindness going on right now. That's what I
don't know. In my personal world, there is.
Well, yeah, of course.
In my personal world, there's wonderful things going on. But we all have the same spiritual commitment, you know, so we do help and nurture each other.
You know, it's like I think some people ask me, you know, aren't you afraid when you're doing these genealogies on these really important people? And I respond with, you know, what makes them important? Do you think they're important, or is it that they tell everybody that they're important? Because they're really not all that important. I actually look forward to the day when God, the Creator, is going to look them in the eye, in their reptilian eyes, and say something like, what do you have to say for yourself, you know, for all the murder and corruption that you wreaked upon the earth? What do you have to say for yourself before I allow you to judge yourself? And they're going to say, well, I didn't know that anything I was doing was wrong. And he's going to say something like, and I just can't wait to hear this, even if it's only an echo or something I hear through a wall, like in a hotel room. It's like, well, you know, Don Nikoloff told you who you were. Certainly told you who you weren't. You could have paid attention to that. So that maybe, and I think any person that's writing about the truth and revealing corruption or revealing things that people took for granted that are totally illusory in their reality here right now and how we're forced to experience that, anybody would be joyful in seeing at some point a sort of a payback for the work that they did in the form of appreciation. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we hear that from people. I'm not asking, you know, and I don't think most journalists expect the people to go, oh wow, you know, did you read this and did you read that? And this person is just such a wonderful journalist. They don't care about that. They get into the story or they get into the fact. Why I write is to reveal the truth as best I can so that people can make decisions based upon what the truth is. Not because someone's forcing you to make a decision that's intended to be harmful to yourself. And that seems to be the road that mankind is headed down right now, that we're running out of decisions. They're all being made for us. And actually unlawfully. They're being made for us as if it's they have our best interest at heart when it's the opposite. They have only their own interest at heart.
Right.
And so they figured out all these ways to mask it. So, you know, in that sense, I will hold my enemies closer, you know, because I want to see the time when they actually have to face up for all the things that they've done. And more is coming out all the time. Go ahead. I don't mean to take up all their time.
No, that's fine. I agree. I mean, you know, that is a whole thing that's happened, I think, frankly, is a large result of TV coupled with public schools. You know, it's created a population of people that are always looking at, well, it's a population of children, you know, passive entertainment, people don't do for themselves, they expect other people to provide, you know, food, clothing, and shelter, and they just, if they perform some menial task, they should get top dollar, and you know, and that's what life is about. Life is about, you know, having your creature comforts taken care of, and And so, you know, you'll do just about anything to maintain that standard of living. And that's the, what we're shown, you know, on TV and through broadcast and media, how, you know, what the general standard of living is and how we should, you know, a modicum of success would be to have all those things that people have on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in our schools, you know, the standard of living of our teacher and all the people that are in authority, the bureaucrats, you know, the government, they're all to be respected, and they all have a certain standard of living. And so these are all things that are implanted in impressionable young minds, and that's, and they'll do just about anything to maintain a certain standard of living and a level in society to feel like they're a part of society and they can fit in.
Or just
I,
just
I just think that's a huge. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, that's all right. I interrupted you.
No, I just think that's really the biggest problem, and that's all in the protocols of Zion, and you know, instructions to the elders of or what is it, the Jesuit elders. I mean, you know, all those books they have. I guess it's traced to the Illuminist, but this is all instructions on, you know, taking over society and turning it into a, you know, a communist one. And that's really what we have here. I mean, they've succeeded. They've taken over all the industries, the education system, the entertainment industry, move themselves into positions of power and the legislature, and the agenda moves forward. But,
yeah.
You know, our children have been sacrificed in the process, and that's why, you know, I'm running vaccination liberation, when people ask me for school exemptions and, you know, about going to the pediatrician, I tell them quite emphatically that why would you take your child to a pediatrician? You know, is there any reason to? I mean, a well baby checkup, isn't that, don't you just take your child to a doctor if they're sick? And why would you take them to a doctor that's trained at a school that's funded in large part by the pharmaceutical industry, you know, just making them glorified drug pushers? I mean, what do they know about health? You know, their whole thing is to promote sickness, because that's what, you know, pays the bills, the sickness, not health. So you need to figure out something else. But the whole school thing, I mean, my gosh, the level of indoctrination in the schools, and they're promoting this whole United Nations globalist agenda. And, you know, they have the right to the child, and every child deserves to have, be vaccinated, you know. I mean, that should be a childhood right, to go to a public indoctrination center and be trained for a menial task that fits in well in the New World Order. And, yeah, they need to do what, you know, I mean, these are fundamental rights of the child. And anyway, you know, the global warming hoax, all of that stuff is promoted through our schools as though it were fact. And it's really sad, because although a lot of it appears to be good on one level, you know, and I think it's always good to be sensitive to our environment and walk lightly on the earth and those kinds of things, and be conscious of, you know, things that we use all the time. I mean, I don't use plastic bags. I grow as much of my own food as possible. And those are things, I just feel like it's good to be conscious of how we live on the planet and live closer to the earth. But, you know, you're not going to get everyone to do that, for sure. But it's the way they play on children and their emotions and funnel them into a certain set of values and you know, predetermined, you know, outcomes, and, you know, it's all of that. You know, it's literally a channeling of information that's programmed into them, and that's what I object to. You know, there's no discussion. There's no critical thinking skills developed. It's all just programming.
Yeah. It's been a few years that they came out with this word sustainable. They don't have the word sustainable in the reality of the government and how it's structured and how it's operating unlawfully. They don't have it in the Federal Reserve, nor in the U.S. Treasury, nor in the banking system. or the usury credit system, or in the Security Exchange Commission and Wall Street, and the many brokerage firms that manipulate the prices of stock and selling it and buying it and selling it over and over, just this repeated cycle of playing games. So none of that is sustainable except in that you can sustain the corruption, because that's the underlying commonality that they all have with each other. They're all corrupt, and they're designed to operate together. But they tell us this sustainability. What is this? Is this a balance in nature, or is it an ecological balance that's going to prevent the depletion of natural resources? And what are our natural resources? Is it water? Do you really think water is a natural resource the way it comes to us? Absolutely not. Would it be wood or energy? Well, they're making stuff with nanoparticles now. They're polluting the atmosphere. Talk about clean air. Talk about just the concept of clean air. Well, they're spraying crap in the air 24/7 and denying that they're doing it. We've got pictures of it. We've got lab tests of it. People are getting sick and dying from it. We see it every day of our lives. And all they have to do is tell us, oh, they're not doing that. And we're supposed to swallow that while they sing these songs about global warming and sustainability, sustainable communities. Well, I don't get it. Where was their thinking 100 years ago or 200 years ago or 230 years ago when they were founding this country? Did they not talk about sustainability then?
Well, just so you know, when you allude to chemtrails, they have the protest at the geoengineering conference, the big protests were this Saturday, the 20th, and the big worldwide geoengineering conference. You know, this is weather modification chemtrails. That was in San Diego. They caught one of the, main guys, and they interviewed him outside, and he claimed that that they are asking for public input and that they would never implement any of these weather modification chemtrail-type things without a vote of the people and public input. And we're like, huh, that's really interesting. But he actually said that. And then I got an email from a friend of mine who has a friend in Texas. He forwarded it to me, and there's a link. I'll have to send it to you. In Texas, that you are licensed to do any kind of weather modification, and you have to have a license. And so anyway, he was a contractor of some other sort, and he was going to the place and, you know, on the state website where you file a complaint. And then he saw, you know, where all these licenses are and how you can file a complaint against someone's license. And here they had people licensed to do weather modification. And he was shocked. So I'll have to send this to you.
Well, that
people
is one
be
aspect.
Flooding these,
you see the
people
spin
that have these licenses to do this.
Ingrid, you see the spin in the comment that he's making? Well, yeah, they are doing this for weather modification. Why do they put desiccated blood in chemtrails? Is it to change the weather?
Right.
You're going to change any day of the weather with that.
Right.
But how predictable is that going to be? That's for inducing disease. That's for murdering billions of people that they're doing that. Let's deal with the real issue of why they're spraying.
I know, but the guy was suggesting that, you know, the people that would have the licenses to do this are obviously being used to do other things, you know.
Exactly.
Anyway, it was just a vehicle, you know, that he said, my gosh, you know, they're doing all this, and it's in plain sight, you know. And they have it even on these websites, you know, where these person has a license to do this.
Yes, yes. Of course, I'm just underscoring the fact that they're denying, or they're twisting, they're spinning the reason that this is occurring as if that's a plausible reason. Weather modification, why? Because we have global warming? That's a lie. So the weather modification would have to be a lie too. If we don't have weather, global warming, then why are they modifying the weather? And what would be wrong with global warming if it got warm? We had a record cold this year. You know, it was the coldest summer that we had in Ohio in I think ever.
Well, that's true for us. We had the coldest summer we've ever had, and we're having a very strange winter. It never froze really, really hard. All throughout January, the coldest month of the year, where it usually drops down to zero at night frequently, it wasn't below 30, and it was 40s in the day, and all our trees started budding. And now we're hitting, you know, 20s at night. So all the trees and bushes and, you know, that were budding. I mean, my lilac bush was budding, you know, apple tree budding, are all freezing off. So we're looking at, you know, a large fruit basket area, you know, of Canada and British Columbia. There's lots of fruit in those areas in the Columbia River Basin in Washington. Anyway, it's going to be a huge problem. I mean, just like we had all the freezing in the south, you know, in the orange crops, we have the same thing up here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to sound like I'm in a rant tonight. I think about a lot of things really deeply, especially when you're on the show. And I look at the logic behind what they're saying to us. There is no logic, first of all. It certainly has the fingerprint of their agenda on it. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Yeah.
And to think that we risk our lives for this, you know?
Well, I know for myself, I am here to shine a light into dark corners of things that are going on that people mm-hmm. should know about to protect themselves and their children. And I feel an obligation to protect the next generation because, you know, all the hospital births, there's not one baby that comes out of a hospital birth that's not chipped and their DNA sample taken. That's part of the Newborn Screening Act of 2007 that Bush signed into law. And I find things like that, you know, where, you know, you want to protect the spiritual integrity of every child coming into the world today. I mean, that's, to me, is our only hope is, you know, our children having that spiritual connection to their Creator. And there seems to be a concerted effort to stomp that out. You know, and we heard about indigo children and our, you know, DNA expanding. Well, that's apparently quite a threat to the New World Order players. And so, you know, it's all that.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's important that there are children that escape this this plan of theirs is to, you know, shut down their spiritual sense. And, I mean, I find the autism epidemic absolutely horrifying. And, you know, especially when you can go out in public and you know, an unvaccinated, healthy child stands out, like, very obviously today.
Yes.
They establish eye contact. You can, you know, talk to them easy. You know, and the other children, you know, they're far away. Far, far away. It's hard to, you know, establish a relationship or eye contact with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had, and it's funny you should bring that up. Last night I had on the show a lady by the name of Allison Jones. And she's been doing vaccine research for the past 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's somebody you should get in touch with. She's got a booklet she's written called Tracking Vaccinations, the Autism Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some really, really unique and very interesting information in it.
Allison Jones?
Allison Jones. I'll put you in touch with her if you're interested.
Okay.
She's wonderful. She's been doing a presentation pretty often now on Scan TV in Seattle, which is a public access program, Call to Investigation. And she does a very good visual representation, but she's been describing a lot of what's going on with the vaccinations and all the different types of processes that are behind all of this stuff. And I think it would take a lot of weight off your shoulders, for one thing. She's very good at it. She's a good public speaker and right. and a good writer. She knows her stuff.
That's so great.
I wanted to put you in touch. She also, her first child was autistic also.
Uh-huh.
And after that, she waited a number of years to vaccinate her other children, and they had no problems.
But she still did it.
She got certain vaccines at a certain age, but not the whole kit and caboodle like what they're doing today.
But so does she still believe in them?
Oh, I think at this point she's not promoting vaccinations whatsoever. I mean,
yeah.
These are decisions she made 25 years ago.
Oh, right. I mean, I'm just saying it's a real hard pill for people to swallow that the whole thing is a scam.
Oh,
I get that all the time where people want to do selective vaccinations.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Get the bird flu vaccine, but don't get the swine flu. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
or get
yeah,
the SAR.
Yeah, in fact, our webmaster with Vaccination Liberation, he just went to San Diego and back. And here it's the whole flu season is pretty much petered out. And they're everywhere, all around the airport terminal, is flu shots, H1N1, and travel vaccinations available here today. Now, that's the first time I've seen travel vaccinations in the airport. You know, we're talking about cholera, typhoid, you know, on and on like that. So I've never seen, you know, it's one thing turning our schools into shot clinics and airports. So his commentary, of course, is that it gives a whole other meaning to disease is only a plane ride away.
Isn't, well, I mean, who are they going to use?
Because they're bringing it. Huh?
Who's going to administer the vaccinations?
Your stewardess, probably.
Oh, man.
Well, you realize, I'm not sure if you know this, but it was required of all pharmacists to administer vaccines in an emergency like H1N1, and a lot of them were absolutely balking at that they weren't trained as a pharmacist to administer vaccines. But if they wanted to keep their job at the pharmacy and all the Safeways across the country, and there's many, many different pharmacies and grocery stores, they had to submit that to administering vaccines.
Hmm.
No, it was a huge thing. And, you know, either their job or they're administering vaccines. They didn't have a choice.
Yeah, it seems like the agenda is just to get the vaccine in somebody's body. Now these free vaccines, a week ago they were free, now they're charging $18 a pop for them. They were free just a little while ago.
Huh. Well, in Texas they were giving them out for free. They can't get rid of these H1N1 vaccines. Nobody wants them. And in Texas with a Haiti fiasco, or tragedy actually, horrible thing, I mean, now there's 15 missing children from the hospital. You know, did you know that? Yeah, the children that were in a hospital there are 15 children missing. Who knows what happened to them? But anyway, of course, one of the first things on the agenda wasn't to bring them food and water, but to make sure that there are plenty of vaccines being shipped down there. That should raise some eyebrows, but the H1N1 vaccine was offered for free in Texas in lieu of a donation for the victims in Haiti.
Hmm. Yeah, they turn everything into a cash cow that they can. It's amazing. Well, Ingrid, we're out of time.
Okay.
I did more talking than you did tonight.
Hey. There's lots of, there's always stuff to talk about, and I always enjoy our conversations, even if it is on the radio and not a private call.
That's the only time I can get you for an hour. So.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of bad these days, but, I'm, after this week, I'm hoping I can, buckle into the saddle and do some research right along with you, and we're going to be working tighter together
for
the next paper. So that'll be good.
Well, I've been telling my listeners that that the most recent articles are moving up to a new level now with some really good background information that's going to blow some minds, actually. And I can't wait to watch them squirm. Really can't. There's a lot of squirming going on these days.
Yeah, you know, on your website, though, it's hard to find exactly where you're putting your latest research articles.
Under articles.
I know, but sometimes I hit there and I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's there. Anyway, I'm going to look a little more carefully.
Okay, you do that.
I actually pulled it up. I know I did. I pulled it up, and anyway...
Well, remember, we're also under attack, too. So we go through this because we're putting the truth out. So why else would someone want to attack a website other than they didn't want the truth to get out? You know?
Yep.
Makes a
whole
lot of sense.
Yeah, we've had several websites go down because of they just didn't want it out. Satanic Vaccines was a great title. Satanic Vaccines, and they went down. They took them off.
Yeah, Crew Ott's been through five computers, and then he narrowed it down to the NSA. The NSA doing it. Destroying his computers. You know?
Yeah.
And what is he doing? He's telling the truth. He's helping people.
I'm really pleased. He's been exposing quite a bit through his radio show.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on this show weekly, too, every Monday.
Is he?
Yeah. We've done some research together, and we have great respect for each other's work. So
great.
That was an
interesting. Well, I hope that you guys put together an article for the Idaho Observer. Huh?
Well,
together?
Yeah, we were trying to do that at one point, weren't we? mm-hmm. Actually, Don Harkins introduced us together on the heels of my little find on the daylight chemical software that was being used with the Novartis vaccinations.
Right.
And he found that really interesting. And that just led to a whole bunch of other stuff. I think we worked on four or five different cases simultaneously together. And got a lot of recognition for that. And certainly exposed events that people would have taken as real as nothing but orchestrated false flag events. And that's why we do what we do, is to show people that this is all a program, this is all a script that they're following. And they'll change it up a little bit, and most of the time we can even guess what they're going to do before they do it.
Right.
So we've gotten pretty good at it. But I want to encourage people, as always when you're on the show, to subscribe to the Idaho Observer, and it's a monthly publication that comes out every month, all year. So the subscription is a one-year subscription. And, of course, you honor gift subscriptions, too, don't you? Someone could buy it.
Yeah, I actually have several people that gift friends and family. And it's all our subscriptions are mailed first-class mail. We don't have a bulk mail permit anymore. So it's all first-class mail. In an envelope, it's $40 a year. But just in the eBright wrap, it's $35 a year. And it's 24-page, 11x17 pages, so it's packed with news. We don't have lots of advertising like other papers, so it's every page is pretty much packed.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And there's a lot of good stuff in it. So, and they can call during normal business hours. You're on West Coast time, so It can call from 9 to 5 is a reasonable time, I guess.
Right, and that's 208-255-2307. And you can also access us on the Internet. You can see articles in for the last 13 years unique to our publication at idaho-observer.com. So that's idaho-observer.com.
Very good. Well, Ingrid Castle, I want to thank you for being on the show as always. It's a pleasure. And
thank you.
I got you on the show twice this month, so I'm going to try and at least get you on once a month, if you can swing
that. Yeah, well, that's nice of you. I appreciate it. I want to make sure that we get an article of yours in the paper. We just have to get it down to size. You have so much. I want to just get it down to a newspaper size, you know, manageable article that we can lead people to all the details on your website, because mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of people that are really anxious to get your Eisenhower stuff in the paper. So we got to work on that.
Yep, and I got some very new finds that you're going to love. So
we might have to do a 2 or 3-parter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not intended. It's just that's what the, you know, that's what the facts demand.
Uh-huh.
You know, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks so much, Don. You have a wonderful morning.
Yes. It's
morning on the East Coast.
Yeah, and you have a wonderful evening and then a wonderful morning. And,
okay.
And take care, okay?
Okay. Thanks so much, Don. God bless.
All right. Love you, and you be good girl.
Love you too.
Okay. All right.
Well, bye.
All right. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Ingrid Castle. Do subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Again, that number is area code 208-255-2307. And business hours 9 to 5 Pacific Coast Time. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying Evident Footprints. Seth Hendrick on the sound. And special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.